Now, if you have your Bible, Matthew 26. All right, let's stand this morning, or this evening. We'll read a few verses, and we'll read over 50 verses. Verse 1 says that it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assemble together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast days, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he set it meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall be also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Now, Father, thank you for this hour of the day, on this first day of the week, that we gather again to, Lord, look upon the Word of God. And, Lord, you've been good to us today, and we rejoice in the goodness of you. And, Lord, in these few minutes here tonight, we want to make note and, Lord, just again look back into the past and be reminded of what you did for us. And Lord, I pray that you would give unto each of us tonight a greater burden to and a greater appreciation of what you did for us. And now, Lord, bless here in these few minutes your word. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I do ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. On the road to Calvary, speak just a few minutes here as we make here tonight in observance of the Lord's Supper. We just want to look at some events that took place before the institution of the Lord's Supper. And here you find in the verses that we just read that we have in that three people who stand out in this chapter. In this account of the last days and hours of the Lord before Calvary, Jesus Christ himself, Peter, Judas, Iscariot. And it's interesting to see how Peter and Judas are contrasted in this chapter, each one teaching us spiritual lessons by his failures. Judas is a warning against resisting the Word of God and rejecting Christ. We make a lot about the Word, and we try to impress upon the hearts of each one of us the importance of the Word of God, and how that we need to hide the Word in our heart, and to understand some things that God would have us to understand. You keep in mind that in the early church, they did not have the Bible as you have it to look upon. They had to listen. I told the class this morning, I about bet that they gave more attention to what was being said than we do today. But they didn't have all the distractions that we have either, did they? They didn't have the walkie-talkies, and they didn't have all of the things that you and I are distracted by, and they didn't probably have the song books that you can while I'm talking, you're looking at the song and thinking, boy, I wish I'd sung that. But in here, you find that his failures, Judas, is a warning against that. And Peter is an illustration of how a believer can backslide and lose his testimony. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to, we always say, if you're not going forward, you're going backward, aren't you? Unless you're sitting in neutral and doing nothing. So many today, it's much easier to go backwards than it is to go forward. Told someone today how that it is getting harder to live a close walk with the Lord. In that, there's different reasons for that. But you find that Judas here and Peter, it's something that we can learn from, and is also given in John 12, where the woman was who anointed Jesus is called Mary. And you find while the religious Jews are up here in the palace conferring with the high priest, they're trying to figure out when to kill Jesus. Mary is down here in the house of Simon the leper. That's interesting there, Simon the leper. He must have been cured. I think that those folks are going to be down in that house with a leper. A leper, he has to sit on the outside and he has to let people know he's unclean. And he crying out. But here is Simon the leper. And it's interesting that Simon the leper is Judas Iscariot's dad. And you have to take it, you know, in consideration here about how the dad must have felt about his son betraying the Lord. Now, in that same token, you and I's parents, how do you feel when a child of yours has gone astray and have rejected the Lord and not living for the Lord? You didn't name your baby Judas, did you? No, nobody anymore names their baby Judas because of his testimony. That he was a traitor, that he sold out. But a lot of kids are named Mary. And Mary here, he talks about her. And so into that, you find the religious leaders are consulted about how that I can get rid of him. Now, folks, we've got that going on in our country today. You've got the religious leaders trying to figure out how that we can put a damper on this Christianity that is conservative and fundamental and believes the Bible. Can I say to you, it ought to be that you're a Bible believer, that you believe the Word of God, you go into that, that you know that you have been born again. You don't have to take it and go into try to be religious. Here, Judas is trying to be religious. He's in the house. And here Mary comes and she brings this alabaster box. And you know the story of how it got to the attention of the disciples that were there about, this could have been used to buy for the poor. But Judas, being the traitor that he was, he didn't want it to be used on the Lord because he wanted himself. If you look over in John 12, it talks about he bare the bag. Well, the word bear there simply means he stole from it. He's getting into the kitty. And so he wanted the money to have access to it. And so he's got a problem with Mary. Does it bother you when somebody gets to, you looks around and somebody just being blessed by God? And here you are struggling and you're in, you're out of sort with the Lord and poor James, he's getting the blessings. My goodness, he seemed like everything he comes his way. And here I am trying to make ends meet, trying to get the electric bill paid and the water bill paid and trying to, I just can't give to the church because, you know, we're in a, economy downgrade and everything has gone up and all the food. Did you been to the grocery to see the food? And you just know that, it's, I don't have the money. So, I'll have to give up. First thing you do, give up giving to the Lord. And into that, now here, that you find you lose a blessing there. Can I say to you, here she brought for you, that ointment that she brought was equal to a year's wages. And I was thinking about that, and I thought I might ask some of you just to give a year's wages to the Lord. Jimmy and Darrell and Todd, and see, I might be a little more lenient on Todd, but Jimmy, because they got some kids, but Darrell could give a year's salary, wouldn't bother him. Leo back there, anybody from California, you know, they brought money with them, they go rush, they just go through it. And so, but what I'm saying here into that is you be careful. Judas, he said, boy, we should have sold that. We could give to the poor. And the Lord said, well, you're going to have the poor with you always. He's talking about me and maybe some of you. But he knew that there would be some like myself that would always be around that would be needing a handout. But it's a memorial. Now, look what the difference, what Judas got down through history of being a traitor, being the one that sold the Lord out. Nobody likes him. And look at the end of his life. He ends up going out and committing suicide because of the burden of the guilt, I suppose, on that. But you take look at Mary. Here said, let's make a memorial for her. Look how many thousands upon thousands and millions who have read the story of Mary and the anointing of the Lord with the precious ointment. Now, which one had you rather have? Which testimony had you rather have? Well, let me say to you, into that, a person that rejects Christ, if you're sitting here lost tonight, you got the same testimony that Judas has got. You're going to hell. I mean, just be honest. If you're looking in and you're not saved, your testimony basically is going to be one to say, hell is just going to be just as hot for you as it was for Judas. It's not a place to go. You ought to get right with God. What I'm saying is here, and look what Mary, the love that Mary had, it ought to be a reminder to you and I to love the Lord as well. Memorial. You remember over in Exodus about 17 there where there was a battle going on down in the valley and Joshua was fighting the Amalekites and Moses was upon the hill. And the Lord said, Moses, when Moses lifted his hands up like this, boy, old Joshua was winning the war, wasn't it? But boy, when he came down, the Amalekites began to overrun him. And he gets, hey, after all, you hold your hands up very long, and he gets tired, doesn't he? Well, here comes, they got Aaron and Hur to come and to hold his hands up. And it went on down to the evening time. That they finally, Joshua defeated the Amalekites. And here is, they set Moses on a stone. They kept his hands up to where the victory could be won. Now, sometimes to win the victory, it's going to cost you a little bit of put out something. Amen? It may cost you to have to go to church twice on Sunday. It may cost you to have to go to church on Wednesday night to get somebody to hold your hand. But hey, into that, you want the blessings of God. And Moses was the leader. And do you know what he said? God said, Moses, I want you to write this in a book. And let it be a memorial for these folks here of Israel. What has been done with the Amalekites. Interesting, isn't it? Write it in a book. And Moses did. You go to Exodus and you can see where he wrote it down, what God told him. You find in Joshua, rather, into that you go over to the things here that Joshua, he told that would be a memorial for the children of Israel. You go over to Joshua 4, and somewhere there they're going over the Jordan River. And you know what happens there at the Jordan River? Well, God parts the Jordan River. The waters abated. And what did Israel do? They went over on dry land. But hey, now God told them, the leaders, to do something when they went over. You remember what he told them? He said, every tribe get a stone out of that bed of the river. And you take that stone over on the other side. Now, some of you couldn't have done that because you ain't strong enough to carry it. It had to be a pretty good sized stone. And that, but anyway, they got that stone and they made a memorial over on the other side for the children to always remember what God did. That God parted the Jordan River. And into that, to see the power of God and the love of God into that. And so I say to us tonight here in that, and so you find that Mary's act of love was accepted by Jesus, and it was criticized by the disciples. You ever stop and think who the disciples were that were sitting there? I don't know how many of you can name 10 of the 12 disciples there. You take that. It's interesting if you look at these disciples. It's interesting to know who was there. Andrew and Peter were there. Do you know what? You look who, what kind of person that these guys were. Peter and they were professional fishermen. What were they? They are cussing, no doubt drinking. You ever been down to the shore for these boats and to come in and the unloading of that? And do you ever hear why? You know, you see that James used to cuss like a sailor where they get all together. I mean, those men on these down here at the shores of the boats where they come in are the. I mean, they are pretty rough people. You don't want to mess with them. They'll throw you out in the deep water. But hey, Peter, this is Peter and John, Andrew and Peter, are, fishermen, and they are, very much, a type of person, that, it reminds me oftentimes of the, what we would call a redneck. I mean, you can see, you know, Peter didn't wear a whole lot of clothes because he caught him later on out there, with none on. But they, down on the, of the fishing places there where they're at on their boats and stuff, it's a pretty rough crowd that they're around. But Jesus, what does he say? He goes by, he says, hey, come and follow me. Now, some of you said, well, boy, why would he choose a guy like that? Well, why would he choose you? Do you think you was any better? Well, preacher, I didn't cuss like that. Well, but in your heart, you probably did as much as Peter did. Then you had into that also, you had James and John. Not James, yeah, James and John. Who were they? They were brothers as well. And what were they? And here you can, if you stop and just think about it, what were they called? The Sons of Thunder. That's having a pinstripe Chevrolet chasing a Ford. Or running over. I mean, these guys are out here hot rotten. They're the talk of the town. But hey, God said, hey, come and be my disciple. And so you look at the guys that Jesus has around him here in Simon's home, in Simon's been a leper, but this a few years has gone by, 3 years that they've been following him. And you remember in Matthew 4:19, what did he say? He said to you, to them guys, he said, follow me and I'll make you, to Peter and him, a fishers of men. Well, what about Philip? Philip was down there. Now, some say that Philip, if you, in modern day vernacular, he would be a pimp. He was a pretty rough character. And in that, but hey, what about Philip? All of these men's lives got turned around. They into that when they start following Jesus. And could I say to you tonight that if you start following him, your life will get turned around as well. You will find that into that, that you will not be the person that you were. Thank God that I've been changed. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. In that, and so time will allow me to go on till you got the, is that Thomas, oh my soul, what about Thomas? Thomas had to be from Missouri, Jenna. He had to be shown everything. We call him Doubting Thomas. He can't see it, I don't believe it. And in that, but hey, he became one of the followers of the Lord. And in that he's in that room here with the Lord and the disciples. And so you got into that as well. You got to, we're talking about Matthew. Oh, you talk about Matthew wasn't hated this person. He was an IRS agent. He had deserted his own people to collect taxes for the government from the Jews. You think that he was liked? No doubt he was getting into the till as well, here you got so many. You look at these guys, but what happened to them? What happened to Andrew? Well, in the tradition says he died in 69 A.D. after hanging on a cross for 3 days in the land of Greece, where he ministered in the latter years of his life. What about Peter? At age 70, he was crucified upside down of his own request in 67 A.D. Philip. He was stoned while bound to a cross and was thus crucified to the city of Hierapolis in Asia Minor. Thomas, he founded at least 7 churches in India after converting 3 principal kings in India. Thomas was martyred of their hands by arrows while in prayer in about 60 A.D. Jude, he ministered in Armenia and suffered martyrdom in 66 A.D. by a javelin. These guys, they're sitting here, and the Lord is telling them and preparing them that he's going to die. He's going to be taken away. And these guys go on to become great servants for God. Now, Peter had to get straightened out, didn't he? Now, in this chapter here that we were in here, in Matthew 26, you find into that the Judas covenants to betray Christ in verse 14. Says what he's one of the 12 called Judas, who went unto the chief priest. And he said, "Will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for what? 30 pieces of silver. You find in verses 16 through 25, you find the Passover. And here you have that the Lord instituted the Last Supper. He gathers them together. And into that you find that here where that he begins to look what he says in verse 17. Now, on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, and the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And boy, I tell you, here the prediction. And that, and you find that here that the sorrow of faith in verse 17 through 25. He looked at he said, "For this ointment might have been," let's see where I'm at here. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And in verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them because the Lord said, "One of you going to betray me." And you find the sorrow of faith. You find here that they said, "Lord, is it I?" And verse 25, Judas said, "Master, is it I?" It's quite interesting. First John says, "You can no one can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Here, Judas calls him Master. A rabbi in that, you find that the bread here, you got the symbolism of faith in verses 26 to 29, and we'll talk more about that after a while. You find that then as they were eating in verse 26, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, that bread was not his body. That bread is a symbol of his body. And we have folks today trying to make that body turn into flesh. And to eat the literal body of Jesus Christ. That's not to hear what Jesus is. It's just like the seed in the sower. He said the seed here is the word of God. You take here, this bread is the body, represents the body of Christ, that it is broken for you. And boy, I tell you, later on, and we'll not have time to see the trial and see all of the agony and pain that he had to go through before he dies on the cross. But boy, I tell you, into that, the symbolism of faith, into that, where the fruit of the vine is the cup that represents the blood of the Lord. And as Jesus took here, we'll look at verse 28. Verse 27 says that he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you," where? In the Father's kingdom. Now, when is that going to take place? That's in the millennial, when he sets up his kingdom. That we'll get to partake into the supper and to drink and to eat with him in the Lord's in the kingdom. It's interesting. He has not yet been able to partake this supper since this time here, the last one. And so I'm not going to get into Mike has been teaching on the Lord's Supper. There'd be an ordinance of the church, and into that it ought to be that every born again child of God that been saved, been baptized, have a desire to follow the Lord in this ordinance, and to be to remember what God did for you, and what how the love of Christ spilled out on the cross of Calvary, and how that our sins and our iniquities was laid upon him, and he bore our sins, and he bore our iniquities, and into that, to be able to know that today, some 2,000 years later, it's just as real as it was when he hung on the cross. And it ought to be that, hey, how grateful that I am that God has allowed me to live in a place, in a country, to where I can hear and to be able to worship him, and to be able to know my debt of sin is forgiven, to know that I have been born again, know that I have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me. I have new life in Christ. I'm excited. I can't hardly stand myself. I tell you that I'm more excited than you are, because I'm closer there than you are. See, I got I usually got a light on me. I don't have it right now. I gave it away. But the light at the end of the tunnel, I can see. And boy, I tell you, there's nothing, no greater joy than to know that God has given to me the forgiveness. And I was as big a sinner as Peter, James, Philip, Thomas. And don't y'all look so pious? You are too. There's no little sinners. They're all big sinners. They all caused the Lord have to go to the cross. They all caused him to have to shed his blood. And it took the same blood that saved a sinner of great degree as it does a sinner of who have. Now, thank God that you kids grow up in church. You're going to be held more accountable to the Lord than I did. I didn't grow up in church. But you that grow up in church, and you get to hear the Word of God every week, and you get to know about him, and all you good out, and you go astray from the Lord, you take boy one day at the judgment seat of Christ, you got to give an account for that. There is millions upon millions tonight that would love to sit where you're sitting. And yet you find that the people do not see the need of it. I guarantee you, probably it takes a disaster like down in Florida to wake us up sometimes to that there is some things that man is not in control of. There are some things that you cannot prevent or stop. And one, you can't stop death. Regardless, you can spend all you've got trying to do it, but you can't stop it. It's going to come. you better be prepared for it. It's that you got a car. I just bought a car. I didn't know if it had a spare tire or not. But I don't want to go out on the highway not prepared with that car. And happened to find that I had one, had a new one, had been on the road. So that gave me a little relief. See, when I'm traveling, then I got a spare. Now, the same thing here, you're going through life. And you coming down to life, and do you have a spare? Do you have something that is going to get you to where that you want to go when you die? You want to go to heaven? Well, if you don't want to go to hell, just don't worry about it. But if you want to go to heaven, it ought to be a time not here that you get your life into the relationship with God that these disciples did later on, and to be able to serve Him and to be a blessing. A sorrow of faith, a civilism of faith, a supremacy of faith in verse 30. And I got to quit. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, where do we get our singing from? Well, the Lord sang, see. Those that little church there, when they left, they sang a hymn. And Psalm 118 probably is what the song that they sung. Singing ought to be part of your worship. Amen. Singing ought to be important to you. Into that, and I tell you, Joe, I said, man, if I were you, I'd get me a guitar. I'd learn how to pick it. I'd go down on the corner and get me a cup, and you can make a good living. And to be able to serve the Lord at the same time, see. The Lord said, be you wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. Be wise into that. Get you. God will bless you. And you will find that you can, a guitar, you can get a crowd. You can get two or three anyway. And so I'm saying to that, do something for God to improve your singing. And so the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. It's not a sacrament. It has nothing to do with your sins being forgiven. It is a memorial for you being reminded that Jesus died for you and that He's coming back. You find that it's to be observed by the church only. And we don't go to the nursing home and take the Lord's Supper. We don't go to your house and take it. It's a church ordinance, not a home or a nursing home ordinance in that. And it is for when we assemble here as a body of believers that we observe the Lord's Supper and be mindful of what God has done for us.